So if you remember last week, we were talking about just the different ways, the different gifts that are out there. And how many of you have ever taken a spiritual gifts inventory? Raise your hand. So good majority of you. Some of you have no idea what I'm talking about, and that's okay. A spiritual gifts inventory is a test that you can take that helps you find out what your top spiritual gifts are. There are ways that you can learn this, that you don't have to take a test. But it is, I find, very helpful to take those because it helps narrow down this, you know, this huge list of 20 plus spiritual gifts that have been identified. It kind of narrows it down into what are my top three. And so it's very helpful to be able to see those because then it helps you focus on, all right, here's what God has given me. Because remember, they're from Him. We don't manufacture them. I don't wake up one morning and go, today I am going to operate in the gift of healing. Because that's God's decision, not mine. Now, I may encounter someone who needs healing, and I'll say, you know what, I'm going to pray for you today simply because I am a believer that Christ can do that. And I may end up being used in that gift, but maybe not. So we have to remember, these are spiritual gifts that are given by the Holy Spirit, not of our own design, okay? But those spiritual gifts inventories help you kind of narrow down and see where has God gifted me in some stronger areas. Because you'll find over time, as you operate in spiritual gifts, you'll find that the Lord has kind of elevated some in your life that you will use more repeatedly than others. Like, for example, one of the highest for me has been, every single time I've taken a spiritual gifts test, is administration. Always off the chart. I can't tell you how many days I wish it was lower so I could maybe get an excuse out of doing some stuff. But the reality is God has gifted me in that, and I need to use that, and I need to develop that gift. There are some other gifts that have been lower in other years that God has begun to elevate through different things, whether it's because of different ministry that I'm doing or certain situations and people that I'm interacting with, that the Lord knows, you know what? I need this tool out of the toolbox to reach this person. And so as you continue to test out these gifts in your life, you can start experimenting a little bit and see where God is gifting you and where He's not. And I want to say too, as much as I am for spiritual inventories, I also am against them because there's a natural human tendency to take a test and then pigeonhole yourself. Well, the test says that I'm good at administration, so I'm sorry, that's all I'm going to do. Or it was the lowest thing on my spiritual gifts inventory, so therefore I don't need to help with anything because helps was lowest on my test. Well, that's a nice cop-out to mankind, but it is not a good cop-out before God, and He will help you get over that, right? Because He will continue to put things in your midst to help you grow in those things. To be honest with you, whether it's a fleshly desire or not, my desire is that the day before I die, all of those gifts would be about as even as they can possibly be. That I will have grown in all of the spiritual gifts as God enables, because it means that I'm reaching out and doing whatever God has for me at any given moment. That's my heart's desire. So as I see some of them ebb and flow, rise and fall, I actually get really excited because it means that there are some new seasons coming. It means that I'm interacting outside of my comfort zone in new ways. So over the course of your life, I think you should, even though there may be some top ones that kind of stay all at the top all the time, there should be some fluctuation of others that are happening. Now, on that handout, I put a link to a spiritual gift inventory that I thought was fairly decent. I'm going to tell you there are some crummy ones out there. And this one is fairly good. If you do not have access to a computer and you would like a hard copy of that, let me know. I don't have any hard copies with me today, but I will gladly print one off and mail it to you. So again, if you have access to a computer and you can go online, it's a simple online test. It'll give you instant results and quick descriptions of some of your top gifts. But again, don't fall prey to saying, well, this is all I can do. What you may be surprised at, some of you may take this test and go, I have never seen that happen in my life. I don't know where that test came from. You know what? Inaccuracies can happen. I mean, let's be realistic. However, it may also be something that God has gifted you in and you just haven't recognized it. So be open to that possibility as well. The first time that I saw administration, I went, duh. The second time I saw administration, okay, I get it. But what was interesting to me was that exhortation and wisdom were always at the top as well. And I thought, oh, there ain't no way. No way. Because I never saw myself as a wise person. I actually found myself quite lacking. And I never thought that exhortation in the aspect of, because one of the big things with exhortation is you are willing to be with believers in the church and help them grow into the next steps. We who are gifted in exhortation find it very exciting to find someone who's floundering in their faith and help them get to the next level. It's kind of a sickness, if you get right down to it. It's like we seek out the ones who are on the fringe and we try to bring them in, you know? But as I grew in that and as I lived more of my life, I began to realize that is a way that God has gifted me. I was telling Joseph this morning, a good friend of mine is about the biggest evangelist I've ever met. He bleeds evangelism. And when I first met him 10 years ago, all he did was talk about soul winning. All he did was evangelize. And he and I butted heads quite a bit. And we're in ministry together. We butted heads a lot because I was like, how many times do people have to get converted before they're finally saved? You are talking so much about evangelism, and which is great. You're leading people to the Lord by the thousands, which I applaud, because that's not my gift. I just don't do that. But where does this discipleship come in? You are so focused on evangelizing that you're bringing people into the church, and then what? You're leaving them. So where's the discipleship that happens? Because that's where my heart bleeds. Well, then over time, we began to see how our gifts complement each other, how we desperately need each other. And over the past 10 or 15 years, he has elevated discipleship in his own life and mine has elevated in evangelism. Do you see why we also need a corporate body? Because we've got to chisel away at each other in some of these things too. And certain strengths of one person are going to be weaknesses of the other. And we can begin to learn and mellow each other out and become a healthy body of Christ. So, in that handout last week, you saw this huge list of gifts, and I identified them for you where they are in the Bible. Now, having had a week to kind of think about things, I want to hear from you. What kind of gifts stood out to you that, gosh, maybe I didn't know were in my life, or it was a confirmation of they are in my life? We also talked about some of the, you know, the apostle, what was that? Apostle, prophet, evangelist, teacher. And then we talked about the gifts are super because God is involved, natural because we are involved. So that is like the incredibly short recap of last week. I want to hear from you guys. What's been spinning around in your head over this last week as we've talked about these things? That more of these vocational giftings, you know, the callings that God has done, that the apostle touches all of the other fingers, that the prophet points to God and points to sin. Is that what you're talking about? Yeah. Anyone seeing gifts of the Spirit and interaction in your life? A question of, is there biblical support for getting one gift and having it your entire life? Would you guys all turn to 1 Corinthians 12? Thank you for jumping into that. That's awesome. Not a dumb question at all. 1 Corinthians 12. Now, as for we all get these gifts at the point of salvation, I think your biblical standing for that is going to come from the fact that prior to salvation, you did not have the indwelling of the Spirit, right? At the point of salvation, you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit because that's how God works. Now, if these are spiritual gifts, they are given by whom? The Spirit. So he is going to pour into you at that point of salvation, spiritual gifts, okay? Now, in 1 Corinthians 12, let's start at verse 4. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers, to another, prophecy, to another, distinguishing between spirits, to another, speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of the one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. So I would say that right there is probably good biblical standing to say there are gifts that the Spirit gives that may remain our entire life. Because it does say it's as he's determining. I also think that that also beefs up the understanding that, you know what, even if it's something that you don't function in highly all of your life, if he determines that you're going to use a different gift in a certain situation, he has the option to do that. I think probably a better explanation, at least in my mind, which, you know, needs work, is that we are handed the toolbox at the point of salvation. And contained in that toolbox is the multitude. Now, what God continues to call up into service for us may be different. And that's what I'm challenging. That mindset is more prevalent than you probably want to admit. You know, I have worked with too many churches and too many individuals that squelch what God wants to do in their life simply because of that mentality. And I don't know where they learned it. I find no biblical proof of it being just that. Instead, I find the biblical proof of we are given the toolbox and inside contains the tools that the Lord rises up at any given moment and says, pull out the screwdriver, pull out the hammer, pull out the chisel. All of those vary, and we've got to be open to using all those. I think it is beneficial from the aspect that it helps narrow down of how is God gifting me in a repeated sense. So while there's different giftings that God can do, and there's different manifestations that he does at any given time, it creates the structure and stability within a body that the hand is a hand and is frequently used as a hand. But there are times when the hand is missing and the foot kicks in, right? So that's where you get your stability within the church, is that God a lot of times is using certain gifts repeatedly in your life so that you begin to function in those and grow in those and become reliable in those, and others can become trustworthy in that as well. And it becomes a point of discipling others in those gifts. Where one is strong, that helps someone who's weaker in it learn how to do it. But with that also comes the understanding that everybody has a bad day. So even though I may love being an administrator, there are days that it sucks and I don't like being an administrator. But the overall joy is there. So yeah, keep that in mind. Okay, look at the handout that I gave you today. Great question. This comes down to some technicalities of different people's beliefs. So I'm going to try and run the gamut here. Okay. So take a look at knowledge is on page 2. All right, so take a look at knowledge on page 2. This one in particular has two very polar definitions, okay? So one of the definitions is the gift to communicate the unknown details revealed by the Spirit. So that is one definition of word of knowledge, in that you will have supernatural insight into someone's life on a specific thing that they have not told anyone or certainly have not told you. And you've not heard it from the rumor mill. Now, I'm going to send out a warning with that as well. The rumor mill is active and alive, oh my gosh, even in the church. And you have to be careful that sometimes people will come to you and say, you know, I sense the Lord is saying you're having such and such in your life. And it's something that you actually said 2 days ago in a prayer meeting. So it wasn't anything supernatural gift at all for them, because they were there and they heard it, and now they're coming in the guise of God to talk to you about it. So you have to be careful with that. However, there are times, and occasionally the Lord has used me in this, where I am praying for someone and I get a sense of something that's happening, good, bad, or otherwise. And I will go to them and say, you know what, I don't know if this is right or not, but this is what I'm sensing. Is there any truth to it? If it's true, they tend to fall apart in tears and crying and open up like a book, because they realize they haven't told anyone and that God actually heard their prayers and is confirming it through your mouth. Now, the other definition of this, which I'm going to tell you why I fight this definition in a bit. The other definition is divine empowerment to accumulate and analyze information effectively. They enjoy research, assessing info, and communicate truth. Yes, there are people in this world that they look at the facts and they come to a conclusion so quickly that it stuns me. I happen to be married to one. But I struggle with this, and yes, that can be a God-given ability, most definitely. We need people in this world that can analyze things quickly and come to those conclusions to then move things forward. Because otherwise, there's a good remainder of us that are in a spin cycle and we'll never get out of it without them, okay? So I don't want to diminish it too much. But I also want to throw out a warning of, let's be careful about spiritualizing natural ability and diminishing the more mystical gifts that are on the list. Like, for example, here was this definition. Suddenly, the ability to analyze things was elevated spiritually into a spiritual gift by definition. This same account, the same person that did this definition, also said, well, when it comes to healing, that's not the normative work of the church as described in the Bible. Really? Because I'm pretty sure that Jesus did an awful lot of healing. I'm pretty sure that Peter's shadow, just by being in his shadow, healed people, that the apostles were out there doing that work, and that people were supernaturally healed. So why have we spiritualized this natural ability of analyzing information and completely de-spiritualized a supernatural gift that is also covered in the Bible? I'll tell you, I've had a lot of heartburn over this. A lot of heartburn. So that's thank you. That's put into words so well what my heartburn has been. Because I have been very frustrated and hurt and angry and disillusioned at seeing this elevation of the natural and the de-elevation of the supernatural. They are spiritual gifts, which means they are given by a holy divine spirit. And yet we in our fallible humanity have said, well, I can't explain it because it doesn't fully make sense to me. So therefore, we're just going to take it down a notch. How dare we? How dare we do that to our God? Because he chooses to deposit that in us and chooses to work through us in supernatural ways. So let us be very, very careful about not calling something spiritual and not giving God the glory that he's due. Amen? Go to page 3 now. So now that we all know which definition of knowledge I endorse, which is number 1, let's take a look at definition of wisdom here at the very end. And it goes exactly to what Joseph was saying. It's effectively applying the word of God to everyday life. Now, you're going to encounter people that you're like, they just have more common sense than the average person. And some of that may be in a supernatural gifting of way. Some of it is they just have common sense, and that's where it ends. But a lot of it is in the application of that sense. How can I link arms with you, and let's walk through this together, to grow in your faith, to grow you closer to God, and to reconcile the situation? So it's taking those biblical truths and putting them into real life. That's where wisdom comes in differently than a word of knowledge of, I know something that I wouldn't normally know. That time went really, really, really fast. So we may be on this again next week.